If the enemy's on their way, it may be a matter of minutes before they wipe us out. Your best chance is to leave now with Christy and Jack. Head back to the gateway with them and make a jump. To get as far away from here as possible. Who knows? Maybe you'll find that place to settle we've always been looking for.
Dad, you want me to leave?
What I want has nothing to do with it, Dean. This is about you, son. About what you want. It's your life on the line here.
If I run with Christy and Jack, they'll still find us, won't they? With that satellite and all the other white coat gear, we'll never ever be safe. Not even if we run to the other side of the world, will we?
I can't answer that for certain, but I won't lie to you, Dean. The chances are good that they'll find you sooner or later.
And they'll kill us when they find us?
More than likely.
Dad, are you telling me to go?
No, that's your choice.
Then I'm staying to fight.
Are you sure that's what you want?
I'm sure. Let's go. The others are getting a big lead on us.
As Ryan watched Dean run ahead, conflicting emotions surged through him.
Damned kid.
Even as his chest swelled with pride, he was crushed by the thought that his son had signed his own death warrant. Inwardly, he raged at the dire circumstances they found themselves trapped in, and at his own powerlessness to change things so far. He took up the rear guard position in the file as Jack led them along the rows of wheel tracks that paralleled the northern arm of the canyon wall. As Ryan walked along, he kept his eye out for defensive positions they could retreat to quickly, places to make a stand, the more enclosed the better, with entrances they could control. He wasn't the only one doing this. His companions knew the routine by heart. When they reached the canyon's mouth, they could see the direction of the tire ruts leading in and out. JB pulled his hat brim down to shield his glasses from the sun.
All the tracks head towards Lake City. The base for the invasion force must be that way.
Not much between here and there. No safe water, that's for sure.
Trouble! Gyro coming!
Jack pointed at the horizon. A single black gyroplane swept in low over the desert, flying out of the sun. Far behind it on the plain, Ryan saw the spiraling pillars of dust that meant heavy vehicles were rolling toward them at high speed.
The Snake Cave! Triple Red! Let's go!
They broke and ran for the side of the canyon. As they sprinted for cover, the whine of the gyroplane's turbines grew louder. They were within 20 yards of the rock wall when the plane opened fire. Oily desert shrubs blossomed in a line of fire to their left. Then a second beam of emerald light squealed over their heads and ripped into the sandstone cliff in front of them. Cascades of white sparks erupting from the red rock.
Shit!
Bullets were useless. Their only hope was making the cave. They were almost to the wall when a blast of prop wind whipped dust into their faces. Behind them, engines howling, the gyroplane hovered, its rotor wash forcing them up against the wall in a swirling cloud of dirt. Jack reached the entrance first.
Come on! Come on!
He helped to pull the others into the angled slit in the cliff. Inside was cool darkness. The companions leaned against the crumbling sandstone. The air attack broke off at once, but they could hear the gyroplane still hovering outside. Gradually, the rasp of their breathing slowed, and their eyes adjusted to the cave's dim light. From deeper in the cave, they could hear something that confused them.
Shit!
JB fumbled for a match. Light flared from the end of his small rag-wrapped torch. All around them, the floor moved, uncoiling into dozens of thick-bodied, slithering shapes.
Ah, Satan's scaly harbingers!
Can't you just say fucking snakes for once, Dad?
Fucking snakes!
Christy instinctively drew her handgun.
No bullets in here, Christy. Ricochets.
Right, Ryan.
Here, stay back.
Ryan's Ponga knife scraped leather as it cleared his leg sheath. Ryan cut a frantic, bloody path through the mutated rattlesnakes. This cave had kept them and Gabhart's crew in vittles, big, juicy snake steaks for better than a week. There was no choice now but to waste the rest of the nest. The rattler venom was agonizingly lethal. In the flickering torchlight, he isolated, cornered, and slaughtered the stragglers, using the flat of the blade to stun, followed by a quick backslash to decapitate.
Impressive.
Let's go, people.
With JB in the lead, holding the torch, they crossed the sandy floor, stepping over headless, still thrashing bodies, moving toward the back of the cave. As they advanced, the ceiling and walls necked down, forming an archway that JB had to duck to pass under. Beyond the arch, the space widened into another domed chamber. As Ryan approached the arch, his head brushed the ceiling. pieces of loose rock and dirt came showering down.
Watch out! The roof's rotten!
I see.
Ryan ducked low to clear the arch. JB and the others were already examining the cave's back wall. On the floor, a jumble of S-shaped snake tracks led up to it, then vanished.
There's a rad-blasted snake hole here. Could be a way out.
Jack fell to his knees beside JB, and they both dug madly with their hands to deepen and to enlarge the hole.
Fucking wax coming.
Cover the entrance.
Their weapons up and ready, the others took defensive positions on either side of the arch. Ryan looked over his shoulder to see Jack squirming under the overhang of rock. JB passed him the torch through the hole, which plunged the cave into darkness.
You are trapped! Come out now and it will go much easier on you. If you make us come in after you, we will hurt you badly.
Moments later, the torch popped back out, and Jack scrambled out after it.
Dead end.
A beam of green light speared through the middle of the cave, striking the back wall above Jack's head.
Shit!
He rolled out of the hole, out from under showers of fat sparks as the sandstone melted away. The companions drew back behind the curve of the archway, shielding their eyes from the green glare.
You are outnumbered! There's nowhere to run! Surrender now, or we'll make this very unpleasant for you!
Already fucking unpleasant.
The laser beam was making the middle of the back wall glow like a huge ember. Sweat had already started to pour off the companions, and it was getting harder to breathe.
In which layer of Dante's Inferno are we, exactly?
Dean looked up at his father, eyes bright in the torchlight. Ryan had to make a decision.
Okay! We give up! Turn off the fireworks! We're coming out!
Keep your heads down.
The green light immediately winked off, but the red glow behind them continued. The rock wall was almost molten hot.
They're in.
Throw down your weapons!
Ryan looked at JB and pointed at the ceiling.
You know what to do, friend.
As the one-eyed warrior started to step out from behind cover, JB stopped him with a hand on his shoulder.
Nah, let me do this one.
He handed Ryan his M4000 shotgun.
It'll make us even for all the times you've saved my sorry ass.
Better screw on your hat.
The armorer grimly adjusted his fedora.
Everybody get ready to yell.
His hands up, JB stepped into the line of fire, ducking under the archway.
Now, take it easy. You know we can't hurt you. You don't have to prove anything more to us.
He dropped to his knees and held his arms high over his head. Black figures approached with their laser rifles pointed at his head. One of them came within 10 feet of him before it stopped.
Where are the others?
Yeah!
Ryan swung out from behind the rock. The Smith & Wesson pump gun roared in the enclosed space. Orange flame licked the ceiling. Ryan racked and fired as fast as he could.
It's coming down!
Come on! Mama needs a new pair of pumps! Oh, 7! Pay up, bitches!
Behind Dr. Huff in the back of the lumbering bus, the three sluts were passing the time with a noisy dice game, in which the winner got the right to bitch slap the losers across the face.
Ow!
Damn, that feels good!
Take it easy, Sally.
Oblivious to their squeals and to the pounding vibration of the rutted road, their satiated customers lay in a sleeping heap on the mattresses. Outside, the landscape was uniformly bleak. To Hutt's left, across the beige, featureless plain, were distant mountain slopes. Poisoned by radiation, they looked like monstrous heaps of brown dirt. To his right was the gray-green glacier of Nuke Glass, along whose southernmost edge they'd been driving for more than half an hour. Though the Slake City phenomenon keenly interested Hutt, the combination of surface glare and road vibration made it impossible for him to study its details. The doctor found it droll that the most significant act of this reality's white coats had been to supply the means for a civilization-ending global holocaust. 400 years of creative, thoughtful inquiry into the diverse mechanisms of nature had produced 30 minutes of spectacular hell. From Hutt's alternative universe perspective, the new cost was nothing short of a blessing. The removal of 95% of the human population had forestalled the real endgame scenario, which, as he had seen, came with the whimper of starving billions, not an earth-shattering bang.